You're listening to the Bitcoin.com podcast. Our guest today is Nitin, founder of B21.
The opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints expressed by various guests or sponsors of the podcast are solely their own. They do not necessarily reflect those of the podcast host or the other people, entities, or organizations affiliated with the creation or production of the podcast. The guest and sponsor may consider their information reliable, but others involved in the creation or presentation of the podcast do not warrant the accuracy of guest or sponsor information, and it should not be relied upon.
This episode is brought to you by B21. Do you find it difficult to withdraw your crypto? Is your crypto card not accepted at online merchants? Then get your free B21 crypto card today. From the founders that invented the crypto cards in 2014 comes B21 International Card, a crypto-link secure card. Live in 82 countries, including Asia and Europe. Car rentals, hotels, ATM, online subscriptions, shopping, and more. B21 card works everywhere. Get your free B21 card today. Check out www.b21.io/card. I'm your host, Dustin Plantholt. Join us as we dive into the world of economics, politics, tech, Bitcoin, and cryptocurrency. For even more crypto-related news, sign up at news.bitcoin.com or follow us on Twitter at bitcoin.com. Now let's bring on our guest. Nitin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dustin. Lovely to be here. If there was a fan club, I would be your number one fan.
You know what? If I had to tell you I've heard that before, I haven't. So thank you so much for patting me on the back. And what I'm interested in today is learning about B21 and learning about you and your story. Because at the end of the day, trust is always earned. So how did you first get interested in Bitcoin, blockchain? What got you in?
Okay, so let's begin with a little bit of my background that actually relates. So I've been in payment space since like 2006. So with banks, with PayPal, etc. Right? And in 2011, somebody told me, "Hey, you like to be in payments? Check out this thing called Bitcoin." And I was having this, I vividly remember, I was having this lunch in a restaurant. And I was like, "Okay." And you don't write that up, and because you have a mouthful of food in your mouth, and you're like, okay, fine. And the guy who told me was a smart guy, very, very smart. I said, okay. And then I forgot about it. I came back home. I didn't remember. A couple of days later, it just struck me what was the name. And I could, thankfully, I could recollect. And I went and Googled. And there was nothing. There was literally one line on Wikipedia. I'm like, okay. And how do I know more about it? It was very complicated. So I left it. Didn't do anything about it. This is 2011. And I was like, okay, fine. Just too complicated. Don't even understand what the hell it is. There's a single line about it on Wikipedia. And then fast forward 2013, it is becoming good. And we are on the cusp of innovation in payments. And we are talking about payments all along. And then here comes somebody says, hey, why don't you do something with Bitcoin? And we said, okay, fine, let's do something. And then we were building a product along with Visa, in which we wanted to spend the airline miles on a Visa card. So think about it as British Airways Avios points or Emirates miles to be spent on Visa card. We said, why can't we spend Bitcoin on this? That was 2013. In 2014, we got that product out and we launched it along with Zappo. That's the story. That's how I got into Bitcoin twice. First in 2011, didn't understand anything. And then in 2013, understood. And 2014 with a product in hand.
Wow. So that was the beginning for you. Now, I mean, you've seen this space mature quite a bit. Is there anything that has just surprised you would say, Dustin, I didn't see it coming? Or did you see it going to where it is today?
So I think the surprising thing is the amount of innovation I see. It's means literally Bitcoin was the only thing in 2013, 14. We had no idea what is going to come. And then here comes Ethereum in 15, 16, right? And then 2017 was so many coins and the ICO mania, as they call it, right? And I was like, wow, this is the next level of innovation. And till today, that innovation has not stopped. It is insane amount of innovation and the will, the drive which the community and specifically the techies have to change the world. That's phenomenal. And I think that's what drives us to be in this space. And we will see within our lifetime the huge change in the world of payments, in the world of property rights, in the world of decentralization as well. It's going to be huge. And it keeps me literally it gives me shivers down my spine and keeps me extremely excited.
And in terms of what it takes, I mean, how many hours goes into this? I mean, for you to build this company, B21, I mean, I imagine that you must be consumed by it. It's got to become everything and anything and all day and every day. So what did it take? And then ultimately talk to people out there that are trying to find a balance.
Well, when you're driven by passion and when you're driven by what you would like to do with all your time, then it's not work, right? It's not the number of hours. It's not the physical number of hours you stand in front of the system and working about it. Even if you are having a dinner or having drinks and talking to friends and family, you're talking about Bitcoin, you're talking about crypto, you're talking about B21. So it just goes into so deep into you that the number of hours are insane, right? It just doesn't matter. That's what you live, breathe, eat, drink. And that's I would say that's what entrepreneurs do. And that's what keeps me motivated. There are highs and lows. And if you go back, would I want to do anything else? Have I thought about it that should I do something else? Can I make more money or have a balanced life? Yes, but hey, this is what I choose again, again and again and again.
Yeah, it's amazing how big this ecosystem has become. I mean, there was a time where the word Bitcoin was like, oh man, Bitcoin, that's not a good thing. That it had a little ring to it or ting to it, that it was scary, it was dark, it was sinister. And now you're seeing financial institutions all over the planet that they're starting to talk about it, they own it. And you even have entire countries that have now signed on. I mean, that's pretty crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's actually satisfying that you have been there much before a lot of others. It feels that you've been, well, I'll just put it very bluntly, you've been there before Elon Musk. Right?
That's right? True. Or at least that, look, I'm going to drop a rumor here. I mean, is he Satoshi Nakamoto?
Well, I don't know. Only he or Satoshi Nakamoto will know.
There you go. All right. For those of you who think that Nitin was gonna tell us the answer on that, what he's saying is, I don't know who Satoshi is. Do you know who Satoshi is?
No. All I think is that he's the smartest human being. By being who he is and for who he is not, actually define Bitcoin. Means I cannot thank him more. Even if you see what we are doing in B21, we actually literally gave an ode to to Satoshi Nakamoto by having the word, the letter 21, saying that, hey, this is what you have created. This is what, hats off to you. And the way, not only the way you've created it, but the way you've conducted it, not being there and not being there has actually given it, you started the word with trust. It has actually given much more sanity and much more trust to it.
That's a beautiful way of putting it, because there is still this great lie, and I'm not saying everybody shares it, but there's a great lie that Bitcoin, it's not transparent, and yet on the opposite side, it is. It is complete transparency.
I think I'm going to take it to the next level, okay? And I think I was talking to somebody today, so you will actually like it. So the biggest problem which people talk about in crypto or Bitcoin is money laundering, compliance issues, etc. And my take is that actually the solution to every money laundering or compliance problem is crypto, is blockchain. It's actually reverse. It is a solution to every compliance issue, every AML issue, because it is immutable, it is auditable, it is reportable, it is there for lifetime. You can trust it much more than anything else. It is much more transparent, to use their word. So it is a solution to every AML issue which we have seen in the world in the past.
Wow. You know, it's fascinating. I mean, recently there was some news that Bitcoin was used for bad purposes in this ransomware attack. And then all the news became about how bad Bitcoin was. But they seem to highlight the things that Bitcoin is not being used in a good way for, as opposed to looking at what it is being used for that is good.
I have an additional take on this. What you're saying makes a lot of sense, but I have an additional take. Think about that guy who has done that ransomware attack. Okay? Not today, but maybe in a few months or weeks or years, he can be tracked, because Bitcoin, his tracks are there. If he would have done it with cash, it's gone, right? It's gone. It's not. Nobody's recording it. And now, because he's taken Bitcoin, the trail is always there. It is just when you can reach to the last leg. So actually, it is, if you have taken ransomware, or whoever has taken ransomware and has used crypto or Bitcoin, there are many, much more chances of getting them caught or catching them than if the person would have taken cash.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So talk about B21. I mean, when this idea came to your head, I like to hear entrepreneur stories. Like, where were you when you're like, oh, I got this idea? And then how do you take it out of your head? Talk to entrepreneurs out there. Once you come up with the idea, how do you execute it? How do you do it really well? How do you make sure it's compliant, that can pass all those boxes and pass all the sniff test as well?
Yeah, that's a very good point. So we were in south of Spain in Gibraltar talking about stuff, and we were like, okay, Bitcoin is here, 21 million Bitcoin. And that time Bitcoin was like $600, $700. And the way we thought about it is, what we wanted to do is that, hey, if you own 21 Bitcoin, you are in the millionaires club. You will always be in among the top million people who hold crypto or who hold Bitcoin, right? Because you have 21 Bitcoins, and if you rank the top million people, you will always be in that. That's where we thought about it. And we said, let's try and bring people into that club to slowly start investing and get to 21 Bitcoin. Your goal should be getting to 21 Bitcoin, right? And then when we realized that it's so complicated to invest, right? When you see that your mom gives you $500 and say, hey, I want to invest, but I don't know how to invest. Can you buy one for me, or buy Bitcoin for me and give it to me? Then you realize that there is like millions of people who have never touched crypto, or billions of people who have never touched crypto. And that is what is going to be the defining factor. Can we bring in the next 100 million people in crypto by making it super simple, by making them trust in us and them putting their life's earnings and buying Bitcoin or buying crypto small and steady way? And can we bring in the next 100 million people in crypto? And that's how B21 was born. And it's never been dull moment since then. It's been exciting. It's been driven it's been still 100 million people we don't have on the platform, but that's what keeps me awake. That's what keeps us driven to make it easy for the moms and the dads to be able to invest $100, $200 and gain from this vast ecosystem, which is developing fast.
That's a great perspective. And I like the idea behind B21. I mean, if only I had known that Bitcoin would have just taken off and gone to where it is today. You mentioned earlier about DeFi. What is DeFi and is it really that big of a deal?
You know, it is actually, if you think about it, DeFi is the first decentralized application which you can think about. And it has challenged the entire financial sector in a significant manner. And I think that the way we will see DeFi continuing to innovate and continuing to change people's lives will be phenomenal. There is still an issue of managing your private keys and the experience level, have to go through MetaMask, et cetera, et cetera. But I think people like us who have been working in that space to actually solve that, it's just like once you cross that chasm, you have super, it's like hockey stick growth. And that's when you will see significant amount of people coming in DeFi, making sure that their dollars are worth or earning much more than when they're kept in a bank, right? If you keep in a bank, you probably earn 0.5% if you are lucky, right? And if you keep here, you can earn 8%, 10%, 11%, 12%, right? That's huge. Just by and being secure, being trust, being kept, being not risking it, and that's what will bring the next, I don't know, 100 million people again into this ecosystem.
And where do you see the space overall going? Is it just going to be like the tokenization of everything? I mean, what's going to happen long term? What do you think?
I think, there are two spectrums. One is there will be significant amount of innovation. So there will be technological innovations which will keep on happening on one side, and the techies and new use cases will keep on developing. On the other side, there are people who will be working continuously to bringing the masses into this. And I think that it'll always be the innovators innovating faster than the rest of the people can catch up. So this is going to be, it's going to be here for, one thing we know for sure, it's going to be here forever. It's not a fad. It's not a bubble. Okay. If Mark Cuban is in this, right? If Elon Musk is in this, if Goldman Sachs is in this, right? Then I am sure sooner or later, Hathaway Berkshire will be in this. So it's not a bubble anymore. It's here to stay. And I think what you talked about, tokenization of everything, it is going to happen. There are still many more innovations to happen in between. But the world is going to become much more connected, much more flatter, much more democratized, that you can choose to decide where you put your money in. You can choose to hold all the money in a little hardware wallet or a paper wallet, you get the control. It's going to be a bumpy ride, but it's going to be fascinating, and it's here to stay. And you know what? It's fascinating that people who have joined or who are going to join now as well are still very early in this game.
Interesting. So you still see people as being early. I mean, I'm hearing a lot of talk. There's a lot of FUD out there that Bitcoin will be banned or that Bitcoin can be banned. How do you do that? And do you really think that's part of the plan is to ban it?
You know what? That's the by nature of it, it cannot be banned. Right? Michael Saylor recently said, right? Or I don't own any Bitcoin. All my crypto was lost in the boating accident. Right? I lost in boating accident. So I don't own anything, right? So because where do you own it? Probably 16 words or 12 words of seed phrase. So that's the power of what Bitcoin and decentralized has given you. So it can never be banned. You probably can just memorize those 12 words and you're done, right? You literally don't need anything else. And that's what this innovation or this technology has done. It cannot be banned. And I think that people who talk about it do not even understand it completely. They just know that, hey, price goes up or price goes down. Like, if the price goes up and price goes down, I mean, let's put it in perspective. In the last few weeks, we've seen price go down, price go up a little bit, and then down again. And what did I do? Nothing. I did nothing. Because if you are in here for the technology, if you are in here for a long term, if you are not a trader but an investor, then it doesn't matter. These are the cycles which happen. There are, you call it, yourself call it a FUD, yes. It's ignorance. And I think in the long run, if you see the graph for a long period of time, you will see these are just blips.
Great perspective. Very great perspective. So how do we learn more about B21?
So B21 is actually redefining this space by actually making it super simple for people to invest. By making it super simple, for people to stake and get a passive income, right? Literally click of a button, one green tick, and you can stake all your assets. And making it super simple to be able to spend your crypto. And I think the biggest problem, there are still applications and products out there who are catering to large markets in the Western world, specifically the US and to an extent Europe. But Asia is still a huge market. And that's where we focus on. We enable people to invest. We enable people to earn. And we enable people to spend their crypto. It should be absolutely simple. You should not have a problem that, hey, I could not convert my Bitcoin to Philippines peso or Korean won or Japanese yen or your local currency to spend, right? That should never be the case for the masses. And that's what we are changing. And that's where we come in. We've been here for 3 years. We've seen the ups and downs. We've seen the ICO mania. We've seen the crypto winter. We've seen the crypto bull run. And we are seeing the stabilizing market. We are out there. You can learn about us on all social media channels. You can follow us personally, me personally as well, and join us. We bring in great experience join us in the journey to make easy for 100 million people to invest, earn, and spend their crypto.
Thank you again for sharing your story on the Bitcoin.com podcast.
Thank you, Dustin. It was lovely. In fact, Bitcoin.com is what a URL. What a platform, right? It's phenomenal.
You've listened to another episode of the Bitcoin.com podcast. Subscribe at news.bitcoin.com, where your journey begins.